I told y'all him and my daughter just teamed up on me so bad. It just was so uncool what they did to me on the other week. But anyway, I'm going to let those guys introduce.
Welcome. Welcome. You're listening to WRULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 WRU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with a Global Soul. You are listening now to Men on the Block. I'm your host, Lorenzo Ross. Man, again, we appreciate you guys for listening on tonight. I'm so thankful that you are here. Your presence is always great to have. I mean, I got to say, man, we just love you guys listening every week and sharing with us every week. Listen, we got a great discussion. Great discussion we're going to have tonight on the show. It's just, you know, we're roughly a month away, probably a little, right at a month away from the elections coming up. And there's a lot of talk, a lot of conversation going on about the elections and things. And so I don't know, man, we kind of want to really discuss some things concerning the elections, not just locally per se, or like right down to who to vote for, who not to vote for, you know, how to gather your information and all that kind of stuff, but also from the perspective of just voting, period. I mean, just taking the time to vote. I've recently heard so many different things concerning voting. So many things. People are watching the elections, the debates, and they're listening to all the talk radio. They listen to all these, you know, just on television. I mean, listen, all these different things to determine, you know, who to vote for. However, there's a great, great big push also for us to just at least make sure that we vote. That's the concern, is to make sure that we vote, because there are some people out there who, and I'm going to tell you, man, it's crazy, right? There are some people out there who's encouraging people, trying to almost inspire people not to vote. I mean, it's crazy. I'm telling you, man, it's crazy what some people are saying, what some people are trying to promote in order for people not to vote. It is absolutely just crazy. So, and we're going to talk about that some. But before, and I know I just said a mouthful concerning that, but before we even get into that, I kind of want to press rewind. Eventually, I do want us to come back to last week's topic. We're going to do another show about that. I've had some great conversations with people concerning, for those, let me press rewind. For those who didn't listen to the show last week, let me first say this, that the viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRU as license holder or his staff. Last week, the topic was, why do women hate men? So some of the guys, you know, of course, the brothers are going to give you a hard time, right? They're going to trip with you, right? They're going to give you a hard time, be like, bro, what are you doing having a show about something like that or whatever and stuff? And so they kind of gave me a little bit of business about why do women hate men and stuff. And so, of course, I had some women who, I mean, they high-fived me, they fist bumped me, let me say that right, fist bumped me, air high-fived me, saying, man, that was great topic, great show concerning that and stuff, you know, when they just heard the beginning of the show, of course, because if you continue to listen, you realize that it's not that women hate men at all. But again, but it was they were just like going in. And so throughout the week, and here's something I normally do, because now I'm so thankful that we have an opportunity to come to you guys every week, and I'm not solo. You know, most of the time it's me by myself, but of course, part of that is because of COVID-19, everything that's going on. We're a group of men who are scattered. I would like to say scattered all over throughout the city of Savannah and all that kind of stuff. However, we're not just scattered throughout the city of Savannah. We're in Savannah, we're Richmond Hill, we're Statesboro, we're Carrollton, we're also out of state, we're Virginia, we're Texas, you know. Again, it's just a bunch of men, various backgrounds, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, or whatever. I mean, from all these cultures, man. And we talk, for the most part, we might not always talk, all of us may not always talk like every single week, but most of us talk with each other
weekly, on a weekly basis. Shoot, some of us on a daily basis. And so as a result, when you hear these topics and some of the points and views that are being discussed, they're not always just my own personal view. They're not always Lorenzo's. Y'all know I like to say guys, man. They're not always my own personal view. Oftentimes, there are views that have been heard or views that I've discussed with some of the other guys, you know, who I've talked with throughout the week or you know, on these particular topics. So when you hear certain things, I'm not like necessarily saying these are just me per se. Now, I ain't afraid of none of y'all. So if it is me, I'm going to say, yeah, this is what I think or whatever. But sometimes it's not just me. Sometimes it really is, fam. It's just other people's view, someone else's view or perspective. And I like to always give people the opportunity, the chance to share their view and their perspective. I think it's fair, whether if I disagree with it or not. And you'll see later on in the show, as we start talking about the voting thing, that you'll see there's some people who out there who I completely disagree with. However, you know what? Why not listen? Why not hear it? So, but anyway, last week's subject about why women hate men is something we're going to have to revisit. In our communities, man, we're always seem to be splitting hairs. We're always seem to be just arguing, discussing, and I hate to use the word argue, debate, you know, so many different things, right? We're always doing that. And so this is something for me, honestly, fam, this topic for me has been eye-opening and just, I mean, I don't know, man, it's gut-wrenching as well, too, to discuss this. One of the things that, you know, we've done, and this is where I was getting at, one of the things that's happened since we've been on the radio, since we've been on a radio show, is whenever we talk about something, again, I research. So it makes me read. As most of you guys would probably testify along with me, I don't always read like I should. I know I should read more. But these topics make me pick up books, read articles, listen to interviews. I mean, it keeps me away from... I can't remember the last time I sat down and watched a whole full entire football game or basketball game or something like that on television, because this show has caused me, inspired me, motivated me to learn and read, because I'm hearing from so many different other people concerning, you know, various topics. And so last week's topic, and guys, let's go in real quick. And I want to talk about just for a minute. So last week, talk about why women hate men. People, I mean, just gave some interesting views and perspective on this subject and stuff. And so to such a degree, it's made, I watched a video this past week, guys, and I'm going to talk about voting, but I watched a video last week, and this young lady who could barely be 25 years old, if that, goes on a rant for like 2 minutes on how bad she hates men and how men are this and men. I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, she just went in for like 2 minutes. And of course, I don't know her. It was a video. It was sent or whatever. Someone shared it. And I was like, oh my gosh. It was like insane listening to this 21, 22. And I'm guessing, I don't know her. So I don't know her age. All I could go by is what it looked like in the picture, but she looked very young and things. And I'll be honest, I didn't read a lot of the captions, a lot of comments and all those things, because I was so caught up in what she was saying. But she goes in about how much she hates men. And then she talks about, she even briefly talks about what they all have done to her and how she's, oh my gosh, it was crazy. And yet, I go back and say, here's a 21, possibly 22-year-old lady, young woman, who's talking like this. Where did all that come from? Where did that come from? Now, recently, too, and again, and this is a tie-in for me. Recently, I did this search. Now, I thought someone gave me a great response concerning this. I did this search of the role of the woman and the role of the man. And so I was curious about how many books are out there. Guys, we're going to talk about voting, man. But I was curious about how many books were out there concerning the role of a man or the role of a woman in a relationship. Or actually, and I want to kind of shift it, because I just didn't do the search on like the role of a man or role of a woman, quote unquote, in a relationship. I didn't put those words on the end, but that's what I started looking for. Bro, when I tell you, it was so crazy. So what I did was, let me say how I did it first. What I did was, the first search I did was the role of a woman, right? And I hit enter.
And I put list books. I'm sorry, list books, The Role of a Woman, right? And I hit enter. One list had maybe 34 books. Another book list had like 10 books. Another list might have had 19 books. I don't remember all the numbers, but it was just, you know, it wasn't like a slew per se. When I did the one for The Role of a Man, book list books, man, one list had up to just one list was 100 books, and another list was like so many. I mean, it was ridiculous how many books that have been written on The Role of a Man. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this because we don't know how to act? I'm like, what's the deal? And so what I did, I asked a friend of mine about that. I asked her, and I said, matter of fact, you know what? She's on the program, preceding program. And I asked her, and I said, you know, what's your thoughts on that? And she gave us such a profound answer that we're going to have a conversation about it. I know she's probably listening right now, but she's not able to respond to what my comment is going to be. But she gave what I thought was a very, very profound response to my question about why there's so many books about the role of a man versus the role of a woman. And she said this. She said that the reason that it is because women, young ladies, girls are taught at a very young age on how to be a wife. She said that her argument is that, which I thought was really good, her argument was that from childhood, the woman, the little girl is given the Ken doll, and she's given the Ken doll on how to be the woman who's dating or marrying Ken. Moms, aunties, you know, cousins who are older, they're talking about how to be a good woman and how to take care of your man and what you need to do to take care of your man, right? This was her response to that, on doing those things. Now, again, fam, I'm going to tell you, I thought it was really good. And on the surface, I was like, oh, my gosh, great answer. And she said that, and the reason why there's so many books about the role of a man is because we as men, we're not taught that. We're not taught how to be a husband. We're just taught how to be a man. And most of us, they will say the argument, most of us will say that how we're being taught to be a man is not, quote unquote, healthy. I guess it's safe to say it's not good. A lot of women dislike it. I mean, like I said, I keep it real. I'm from a small town, black male, and things we know. I mean, and I say black male, but most of us is men. So I think it crossed cultural guidelines. It crosses cultural barriers that most of us as men, we talk about being a man. Most of us guys, we weren't sit back taught, you know, get you one woman, you love her for the rest of your life, you set her on a pedestal, you treat her like a queen. We're honestly, we like keeping it real, we're not told that. Most of us are being told, yeah, you got to get you a couple of women, you know, get you married and have your chick on the side. And you know, somebody even wrote a book about side chickology or something like that, I think is what it was, you know, and things that those are the types of things we're being told at a young age. You know what? I can't deny that fact. I can't. When Dr. J made the comment, you know what? I cannot deny, argue that point of view. Is that a totality, like a total? Just a totality is what I was trying to get. Is that a total perspective, total view from all men? Of course not. But it is a pretty good generalization on how we as men are taught or reared in such a way when we're boys. That's just the reality of it, right? You feel me on that? And so as a result, we respond to that. But this is why I disagree with that. Now, I made the comment about the young lady who I watched in the video. She's young. So one of my students, who I think is hilarious, a couple of things happen, and he says this phrase all the time, hey, it's 2020. It's hilarious. Listen to him. He'll say that, hey, it's 2020. Something could be crazy or disarray. It could be odd. He'll be like, hey, it's 2020, right? One of my students says that. I think it's hilarious when he says that. Well, to be honest, so in response to the comment about what women and what men are being taught, my generation, yes, I'm older. I'm half of 100, and so my generation was taught something a little different, as far as what the woman was being taught and what the man was being taught. Our generation, if you half of 100 or older, we were just taught different things. We just were, versus what our children and young ladies are being taught now. Let's just keep it honest. A lot of our women are being taught independency. They're being taught how to be independent. Moms, aunties, sisters, you know, they're teaching their young ladies, listen, you have to take care of yourself because you don't need a man. You shouldn't have to have a man to take care of you. Preachers are preaching that across the board, across, you know, racial barriers.
That's being taught. You're a woman and you don't need to be dependent on man. You need to learn to take care of yourself and work and get your career and have your job. Now, again, if my generation, honestly, let's keep it real. We weren't taught that mostly. Our women weren't being taught that. We were taught, our women were being taught how to be a wife, right? And we as men were taught how to have a wife, but not treat her right. I mean, guys, I know that's not me bashing men. I'm just saying that's why some of us have a hard time coming up, but we get it right. Y'all know it, brothers. We get it right. We figure it out. We make some mistakes along the way, but we figure it out. Sometimes we got to be patient with ourselves, but we figure it out, right? You feel me, right? And so our women have been, in our generation, were taught a certain way. But nowadays, guys, I got to tell you, man, I don't think it's like that anymore. I don't. I think a lot of our women nowadays are being taught to be independent. They're being taught to take care of themselves. They're being taught you don't need a man. I mean, listen to the phrase, you don't need a man. You can have one, oh, but you don't need one. And so people, to me, take that type of a comment and they, oh my gosh, they run with it. And so now you're spewing that off. Women sometimes are spewing that off on other people where in their mind they're saying, okay, I know what they mean when they say I could be independent, that I can have my own, I could buy my own house, I could buy my own car. I know what they mean when they say that, but sometimes I wonder if the concern is that they're being so independent that when a man comes along, you don't like him because he's a threat of your independence. That's my concern. And so nowadays, the book thing, this goes back to that, nowadays the book thing, I'm going to go back and do another search. I should have did it before I came on the show. I'm going to go back and do another search. But my concern is I wonder how many books are written out there now to encourage, inspire, and motivate women to take care of themselves. Now, understand, listen, I'm not a woman basher. I'm not a man basher, right? I'm not trying to create division or anything like that. I'm actually, my desire, my prayer, and hope is that we create unity through understanding these different roles. Guys, I'm being real with you, man. I'm hoping that there's a unity that's created, that we understand the difference between the two. Why one person's role is one way, another person's role is another way. It's not for us to be divided. It's not for us to be separate. It's not for us to fight against each other about who makes the most money, who has the best car, who has the best job, who has the best clothing. No, that shouldn't be how we're fighting as men versus women. Or, you know, no, that's not supposed to be it. It's not. And so, but now I wonder if we're looking at a movement now. I mean, I saw something the other day. I saw another sticker on someone's car, and I say someone, I know who was driving it, but I'm not sure if it was their car or not, but it was a sticker talking about feminism. Excuse me. And I think there's a mistake that's made too sometimes when people talk about the feminist movement where they're feminists because they hate men. I don't think that to be true either. I don't. Because I know I said I was just going to visit this for a few minutes, but you can tell, man, that this is really stirring me because I think we're living in a time where, again, we're so splitting hairs. We're so divided. We're blacks against whites, Asian against Hispanics, you know, male against female. I mean, there's such division. Man, can we at least get this one right? Can we work on getting this one okay, that there's no more division between this man and woman thing? There's no more competition. We're not fighting. Now, I get probably some people say, well, this is always going to be that way. Well, even if that's... Does it have to be? Do we have to settle for it? Maybe throughout this process, or if we start digging in a little bit, maybe we can tear down some of the things that keeps us fighting so much. Man, aren't we tired of divorces? Aren't we tired of people being hating? I'm tired of people hating each other. Are we tired of people splitting up? Because here's the thing. All these things happen. Our kids are paying the price for it. They're the ones that's paying the price. Man, I'm on a rant. But our kids are paying the price for it. The people coming behind us, they're the ones paying the price. Heard a friend of mine say today. She said it today. She said, listen, I don't have a daughter, but I'm afraid if I had one. And some people are saying that. I don't have any children, but I'm afraid if I have some, what they're going to be dealing with. Oh, my gosh. What kind of statement is that? And so my thing is, let's fix it. Let's stop tripping and arguing and splitting hairs over nonsense and silly stuff. Let's stop doing all that, man, and let's come together, man. And again, I know all of, and we're going to talk about some of tonight with the race stuff going on. And please trust me, I'm on the front lines with that. I understand that completely, how those walls have to be just torn down. And I'm going to tell you this, it's not just blacks who's got to do it, and it's not just whites that's got to do it. It's got to be all of us to play a part. Somebody said, well, are we talking about black and white? Well, y'all know that's the biggest fight, so don't trip on that. And that's not dogging anybody else. If you're not black or you're not white, you're Asian, you're Hispanic, we're not dogging anybody else when we say that. We're not. We're not dogging. We're not hating on anybody else. Native Americans. Someone brought that up to me the other day about Native Americans. We're not hating on that. We're not, negating or even neglecting or abandoning those conversations. We're not doing that. Trust me, we have them all the time. We just had a big one about Native Americans a couple of days or so ago. So we are not negating that. We are not casting that to the side. We're not. However, comma, as I like to say, we are dealing with in the current climate, though, where we know there's a big thing going on between a black race and a white race. It just is. But dealing with our men and women, man, this just isn't a black issue. When we look at divorce rates, people try to make it about blacks or whites, but it's killing all of our homes. I'm an educator, and I see kids every day. Black, white, red, brown, purple, yellow, green, every day, who are feeling it, suffering because of the division that's going on with their parents at home. I mean, they are just, and we don't see it. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't even think that they hear or even know what's going on, but they know. And what happens, they come to school and they get them a friend, boyfriend or girlfriend, and they start splatting on them the stuff that they're hearing us do. They start throwing on them the things that they see us do. I'll never forget when I heard the conversation about a young man who had, who was abusing his girlfriend. And he was asked the question, you know, about why he did it. And he said, the reason why I did it is because he saw his dad do it. I saw my dad do my mom like that. And then they often say how they saw their uncle do it, or they saw their cousin doing it. So they thought that was what you did. And there's a line in the movie that I used to hear that we heard, and I forgot the movie, just escaped me. Two things, Color Purple, when she told him, when she told Harpo, if you want to take care of his wife, you know, you remember Whoopi told Harpo, beat her. And then they said how, I think it was in a Tyler Perry play or something, Tyler Perry movie, and he makes a comment about beating a woman, and he said, and guys, I'm not picking on us when I say this, because we know it goes both ways, so please bear with me. These are just examples I have in my head, and that's a whole other thing, the portrayal of our men on TV and media and all that stuff, that I'm concerned about that too. But here's the thing, he said that, the lady said that she didn't think her husband loved her unless he beat her. And then he beat her to death. What a statement. We got to fix this. We have to. We have to fix these roles. We got to fix where we're supposed to be. And so when I hear the comments about when a man says the reason why he treats his wife or his girlfriend that way, well, I saw my dad do it. So we're passing down now this movement about independence for our women and things like that. You know, there's a song I think is about Neo, and it talks about independence and stuff. I love the song and everything. But yet, independence does not mean that, and this is just my opinion, a woman to be independent does not necessarily mean that she hates a man. And I don't think it even means the whole thing where she said, I don't even need a man. I think it's more of a movement or consideration or thought should be that, hey, I can make this. I can have a career. And here's the thing, if you decide not to have a career, there's nothing wrong with that either. If you decide to be a mother and a wife and take care of a home, they did something years ago to see how much salary a woman should be with the things that a wife does at home. And they were talking about, oh my gosh, and I'm gonna go in, I got to, but they did this thing years ago and I forgot, it was over like $200,000. It was some ridiculous amount of money that they say a woman would make if she did the job that she does at home, not working at all, but if she just does the job she does at home and got paid for it, how much money she should make in a year. That's the work she puts in. Oh, what ticks me off even more too is I hear women dog out other women who may not work, who may have chosen the route of being at home, taking care of their kids. That's vital. That's important. What's wrong with that? Why would another woman who's a feminist dog another woman who, quote unquote, might say, well, I want to stay at home and take care of the kids. Why would you dog another woman who does that? Is the dumbest. That's just, oh my gosh. Well, you shouldn't be dependent upon no man and all this and that. I hear you, but dude, really? If that's what a husband and wife had decided to do, and she's not, quote unquote, dependent, they're working together. They're trying to work it out together amongst the, with the two of them so that they both can enjoy life. If that's the decision that they made, oh my gosh. You know, with men, we always ask people, hey, what do you do for a living? We do that. I never forget Jake's talking, having that conversation. You know, what do you do? This is how we do as men. Hey, man, what's up, man? Hey, what do you do? We always ask those questions. What do you do? Well, I'm a doctor. Oh, what do you do? I'm a teacher. Oh, what do you do? I'm a whatever, right? Ask a woman that. Hey, what do you do? I take care of my kids. Want to see a picture of my children? That's their response. Because I think there's a certain nature that we have on the, and that God has placed on the inside of us to be a certain way. As a man, I think there's a nature we have to take care of our family. I think, you know, financially, physically, and all that. You know, make sure they're, as my pastor says, warm and dry. Fed, warm, and dry. We have a nature. And there's a nature I believe that women have, too, to nurture and care for. I think that there's a, that God has placed a certain nature in us for us to do that. Why will we mock that? Why would we destroy? Why would we say that that's bad to do that? Why would we do that? Why would another woman who's a quote unquote a feminist, and I keep using that term, and that's not, I'm not trying to be derogative when I use that term, but what I am trying to emphasize is the fact that when you start reading about the feministic movement, about how people are saying what that really means or what it doesn't mean and all that kind of stuff, and one of the arguments is that it's the whole independence thing. Well, why would you do that for a woman who's saying, you know what? I think I want to stay at home with my children. You're offended by that? You're offended. That blows me away. In the same token, now, the young lady who I saw in that video who went on her rant for about 2 minutes bashing, and I'm going to say dogging and bashing men, really? Is that where we are? Is that the place we're in? I'm puzzled. Puzzled and blown away. So anyway, didn't know I was going to take that long to discuss that, but you can tell I'm really passionate about that right now. As I see just what's going on throughout our country, our nation, and our society right now, man, people, women, men, boys and girls, in particular our children, guys, if I could, man, I'm afforded the opportunity every day because of my profession to see these kids come to school, to see these kids, they're coming to school crying. Gosh, man, it's tough, right? They come to school crying, talking about what happened at home last night. They come to school upset, can't even think straight about because of the argument that happened between mom and dad, or how dad did whatever, or how mom was doing whatever, and they can't even think straight. And we're expecting them to come to school and learn like nothing is going on. When we consider the alarming numbers of abuse currently in our society because of COVID-19, we consider the number of separations and divorce that's going on in our community right now. We consider those things. We don't think that our children are suffering from that. We don't think our children are suffering from us arguing and fussing about who's the better spouse or who makes the most money. Or who can provide the best for our family. We don't think our kids are looking at us like we're stupid and yet paying the price for all of that. Man, we must be out of our daggone mind. This is crazy that we're living this way. We got to switch this, man. We got to do something else. And it's not going to change until we make the decision to say enough is enough, you know. Enough is enough. Let's get this right. Let's get it right. Stop hating each other. Stop bashing each other. Stop trying to destroy each other's character. Stop trying to, you know, get it just, I don't know,
dog fights or cat fights with one another. Who's the best? Stop it. We all could be good together. We all can. And we got to remember that. You listen to WRULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5, WRU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with a global soul. You're listening to Men on the Block. I'm your host, Lorenzo Ross, God's man here tonight, riding solo, stuff in the seat. Again, man, just discussing tonight. I didn't mean to take the first 30 minutes. I thought I was only going to do 15 minutes to discuss previous week's topics, because this is, again, I just don't think this is going to go anywhere anytime soon either, especially because of the day and time that we're in right now, man. We got to fix it, man, and we can make it happen, fam. We can fix this and stuff. So we really only want to take a few minutes to discuss it. However, we're going to take a short break, but after we come back from this break, man, we're going to really talk about this whole voting thing, this voting movement, what's happening, what's going on, you know, not voting, I am voting, write-in voting. I mean, it is crazy. Again, some of the conversations that I have heard concerning this. So when we get back in about 3 minutes, we're going to hit on that and discuss that. So I'll be right back.
Earliest examples of Greek Revival architecture in a domestic setting in the South. Designated a National Historic Landmark in 1974, the Ships of the Sea Museum is a member of the National Trust for Historic Preservation Distinctive Destinations Program. More information can be found at shipsofthesea.org.
All of us here at WRUU want to thank you for the more than 3 years of the best radio on the air in Savannah. Thanks to your listenership and loyalty, we were named Best Local Radio Station and Best Local Talk Radio in the most recent published readers poll in Connect Savannah. In the past, we have had a party to salute you, our listeners, and those whose extraordinary time and talent got this radio station from dream to reality. But this year, because of the novel coronavirus, we have canceled our annual in-person celebration. This cancellation was in addition to a large number of other live fundraising events that we also have had to cancel. So this makes our annual on-air fundraising drive more important than ever before. We will be having our annual on-air fund drive from October 11 to October 24. So stay tuned and donate generously.
Many critical issues are facing the residents of Savannah and all Americans, including the coronavirus, homeschooling, and the upcoming general election. WRUU has three programs which address these issues: The Common Good on Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m., The Happy Homeschooler on Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m., and We the People, The Constitution Today on Sundays from 8 to 9 p.m. Stay informed about these important issues by tuning in to these programs on WRUU.
And again, you are listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 WRU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with the Global Soul. You are listening to Men on the Block. Again, I'm your host, Lorenzo Ross, God's man. Again, riding the seat solo. Listen, for the first part of half of the show, man, we really went in on that about relationships, and that's going to be something. And not really relationships, but we titled the show last week, Why Do Women Hate Men? But we're going to go and discuss that a little bit further next week. We're going to flip the script and talk about our love for women as men. So anyway, the elections are roughly 30 days away and stuff. And so since that is so close, we see the pop-ups, the advertisements. Oh, my gosh, I cut on my TV in the mornings sometimes to watch the news, and it seems like there's commercials back to back to back to back to back. I'm not exaggerating either. At least three of them back to back to back. Yeah, three of them about who to vote for. And then after talking about who to vote for, it talks about how to vote. And there's importance and significance to this. Now, I do want to go in. I'm gonna take a moment, guys, and please, man, don't hang up on me. Don't cut it off. Because I want to go backwards for a second, and just for a minute. Now, again, for those who don't know, who there's some who see me on Facebook, or you might see the post, and you know me, you see me as a black male, right? Excuse me, understand, but you know, y'all know me. For people that know me, they know me. So, however, so with the elections coming up, we started looking at things from a perspective of who votes and who don't vote, and why or why not. How can we get people to vote, right?
So that's really a big focus that we're really dealing with right now is voting. So what I did, I wanted to take a quick run. I wanted to make sure I understood about voting, the process and all of that stuff. What does it mean? I'm a registered voter. Trust me, I'm going to vote. I've been voting now for, what's crazy, I thought about it. I actually have been voting roughly since 1989. Now, I can honestly say, I'm not going to lie to anybody, say every year I vote or whatever. Nope, can't deny it. There are a couple of years, I'm sure, throughout that where I didn't vote. Right? I didn't always vote. And here's the thing. The biggest thing, I didn't always vote locally, which is a bigger thing probably to do, is to vote locally. And I didn't always do that. So I want to understand the process better. Getting registered to vote, going to cast my ballot, local elections, and all those things. And so we went. I went a little bit. Well, let me say it the right way. I didn't do that a whole lot because kind of got that part now. But I want to understand more so about the history of voting, how we got our right to vote. So, of course, when we go back to the date and everything, we date it back, you know, for the longest, not just black males, but white women weren't allowed to vote either. So not just blacks, but white, the women for a long time wasn't allowed to vote as well. And I think I think I wrote that down because I was trying to remember that the exact year that women were given the right to vote. But it was much like 100 years, of course, after our country was established, that women were given the right to vote. There's a amendment, I think it's the 15th or the 14th Amendment that was done. And I think I wrote that down. And 1870, yep. 1870, the amendment was done to hopefully get rid of the discrimination when it came to voting. What did I say? 1870 was when it was done. And in 1870, the amendment was done to get rid of discrimination when it came to voting, that you could no longer be discriminated against the right to vote based upon your color, your creed, and it was three other things. Oh, your servitude, like I guess like what your job was or what you did in the community or whatever. So you couldn't be discriminated. Again, what year I said that was? 1870. Is when that came about. So, 1870. So, I want to check something real quick, and I'm gonna read something, real quick as well too. But no, I'm not. I'm off the dome. So, 1870, the amendment was done. People were discriminating. It wasn't until 1965 that it changed. For black males, for black voters. And it was after the March on Washington and all those things was going on with Martin Luther King. That's when it changed in 1965 for us to get the right to vote. Prior to that, think about it, fam. People were getting killed, mauled, dogged, sprayed, hung. All these things were being done to minorities. And all we did, we just wanted an opportunity to vote. We wanted to have a voice, right? We wanted to have a voice. And so all those things was being done, and we couldn't even have a voice to vote. We didn't have a voice to vote. And that's all we wanted. So in 1965, after the march, some Alabama and all that stuff, you know, then we were given this right to vote. Understand this. I do want to emphasize this because I think for years I misunderstood this. And for years I thought 1965 was the actual right to vote. But honestly, when I did the study to look at the background, we were given the right in 1870. But in 1870, they had all these things in place. Listen to this. They had all these things in place for voter suppression. You had to do polling taxes. You had to take a literacy test. You had to, you know, identify who you were, where you're from. And I mean, hold up and feel me, guys. This just wasn't for blacks. This you consider Native Americans, Asians, everybody. There was just this voter suppression. The suppression was so great and so big that the main people who voted were our white males. That was the main people who voted because of all these, you know, guidelines that were in place in order for people to be able to vote. So most of the time, the only people that voted were white males. And in 1870, again, we were no longer supposed to be discriminated against, but they had all these other laws, all these other guidelines, all these other policies and legislations and all these things in place that by the time you made it through all that stuff, the only people that were still able to vote were the white males. I mean, it's crazy, right? So it took all these, you know, all this ratifying, all these changes, all these just shifting and whatever, in order for people to receive a right to vote. Now, with that being said, I'm telling you, y'all about to grab hold of your chairs, because with that being said, we still have people today who are saying, "I'm not going to vote." I'm like, what? How do you wrap your head around not voting? How do you do that? How do we get to a place to? Now, again, let me say this. Just recently, again, I told you I'm an educator working in high school. And so just recently we had our homecoming. Homecoming is cool, right? Great week, all the stuff, all the different activities. Well, one of the main activities that we have at homecoming is homecoming king and homecoming queen, right? So homecoming king and homecoming queen, you do your whole homecoming court. Y'all been in high school, for those who have been in high school and things, you know, you get your homecoming queen, homecoming king, you have your homecoming court and everything. And what happens though, the way we, you know, the way it works is you have to, you know, cast your ballots, cast your votes in order to see who's going to win. So you do this big announcement at the football game. Now, normally the king, at least for us, the king is announced ahead of time because it could be involved with the football players. And I'm sorry, at halftime, if I'm a coach, you're not going out there for the homecoming court at halftime. Not working, right? We're in the middle of a football game. So that's not going to happen. So they make the announcement early. But for the queen, they make the announcement at halftime. So your homecoming queen and your homecoming king, they have been crowned and these people have won. What was crazy, though, you get some people who don't like who the homecoming king and the homecoming queen is. They don't like it. Like, oh, no, I can't stand whoever. And this to this phrase, they'll say this too. I can't stand him. That's why I didn't even vote. I knew he was going to win. Really? Listen to yourself when you say that, man. Listen to yourself when you say that, lady. I ain't like him anyway, and I knew he was going to win. That's why I didn't vote. Man, I can't stand her. I knew she was going to be the one to win. I knew they were going to vote her to win. That's why I didn't even vote. Listen to yourself when you say that. Now we're talking about a high school homecoming. Do you realize there are grown people talking about this concerning the presidential election? There are grown folks saying concerning the local elections. I'm not just talking about presidential elections, local elections. How they're saying, you know what? I'm not going to vote for the lesser of two. I'm not going to vote for two evils. And then some people say, why am I going to vote for a lesser of two evils? So I'm not even going to vote. Are you absolutely kidding me? There are people out there who are saying that they're not going to vote because they don't support or subscribe to any candidate that's out. Huh? How'd that work? How do you do that? How are we allowing ourselves to get to that place where we can say, well, I'm not going to vote because I don't like either one of them? Do you realize one of them is going to be your president? One of them is going to be your senator? One of them is going to be your county commissioner? One of them is going, I mean, do you realize that? You might not like either one of them, but one of them is going to be a person who can possibly write and put into practice policies and legislations concerning your everyday life. Something, as they used to say, something make you say, how'd that work? How are we going to sit back and not vote at all because we're saying we don't like anybody? I do the history of that because we got to realize and understand that our country, we live in a country that's dependent upon voting. Democracy is real. People can say all they want to say about this is rigged and that is rigged or whatever and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, ballot stuffing and or ballot box stuffing and, you know, destroying of votes. And I mean, I hear it. I get it. I'm not saying any of that stuff exists or don't exist. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is none of that should really matter when it comes to whether we vote or not. None of that should matter. What should matter is that, for one, especially if you're a minority, when you consider everything that's gone into play in order for us to be able to vote, the lives that have been lost, the people who have bled and died so that we can have an opportunity to vote. So if anything, we should be the ones at the front line voting. And here's the thing. I don't care who's standing there to try to intimidate us. I don't care who's standing there to try to get us around. I don't care how long the lines are. Man, please, that should not matter. And I know we have this conscious of, well, I don't want to leave work, and I don't want to miss too much at work, and yada, yada, this, and yada, yada, that. And I, trust me, fam, I completely understand that. But however, comma, we cannot let that deter us from voting. We cannot let that deter us from picking a candidate that we can feel best meet and or suit our needs as an individual citizen in our community. We can't do that. We have to vote. Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. This blew me away too. Now again, to each his own. I'm not dogging anybody on their feelings and their opinions. I can agree or disagree, right? And because I'm here by myself tonight, I'm not giving you a chance to call in. You're not calling in tonight. Now, if you're on Facebook, you can chime in. I got it. You can say what you want to say on there. However, there are people who are saying that they're going to do write-ins. They're not going to vote for anybody on the ballot, but they're going to do a write-in. Now, I don't quite fully understand the whole concept of, if you write in, how many people need to be written in order for them to fully be a candidate. I don't know that. So if anybody knows that, please hook a brother up. And I wish I had like my folks who I listen to the radio. I wish I had an engineer who can help me with that, or research that, how many votes are needed in order for a write-in candidate to be legit. But there are some people who are saying they're just going to write someone in. They're not going to vote for anybody on the ballot. Not voting for anyone on the ballot, if I'm not mistaken, is still almost like casting a vote for the populist vote. Is how it's one of the ways how it's explained. Had got to fact check me on that, but that's one way it was explained. The other thing about writing someone else in, if you're writing somebody in, I understand you're saying I'm casting my vote, but if you're writing in Mickey Mouse or Bugs Bunny or something like that, really? Come on, guys. Really think about it. Really think about it. You know, you're going to write in somebody who you know does not stand a chance to win. And I understand your convictions about not supporting either one of those candidates, when we talk about a presidential election, or either one of those candidates within your Senate or your Congress or whatever, or House, you know, your representatives. I get it. You don't necessarily support one of them. But guys, aren't we kind of going against the grain if we don't vote for either one of those candidates that's on the ballot? Aren't we kind of shooting ourselves in the foot when we do that? How can we have even more say-so as far as what policies and legislations are put in place if we don't cast a vote for one of those who's in office? Now, again, I'm not saying that you have to cast a vote for the one who wins, or, you know, cast a vote for the one that loses. But please, cast a vote for somebody who's on the ballot. That's the thing. So if your candidate loses, at least you can say, well, this is why I supported whoever on the ballot. So when people say either I'm not going to vote at all, or that I'm just going to do a write-in candidate, unless there's some movement, I was joking with someone earlier, unless there's some movement with Jay-Z or Kanye West or Garth Brooks or Johnny Cash or somebody, some major artist entertainment, I say those names jokingly or something like that. You know, we should say Charles Barkley, who said he wanted to run for office or something one day. You know, unless there's a major movement with people, one of those popular people or something like that, guys, come on, man, we got to vote for those who are on the ballot. Now, I got about 7 minutes left or so, and so with these last few minutes, I do want to talk about something that was brought to my attention concerning voting. Now, if you listen on Facebook or listen online, guys, please feel free to chime in, pop me in a message or something. I just recently heard about two different movements that are going on. And in particular, these movements are directly related to African Americans, to blacks. And one of them is called ADOS. I had a conversation with a friend of mine concerning this movement. One of them is called ADOS, and that's African descendants of slaves, I think is how it goes. African descendants of slaves. I want to make sure I say it right, so let me check myself. American descendants of slavery, ADOS, American descendants of slavery. The other one is called FBA, which is Foundational Black America. And these are two separate movements that are battling, fighting, arguing, debating, not sure which word to use, against themselves concerning, I guess, who's right, who's wrong, or what's the real movement, what's not the real movement. When you read about it, you see all this different literature about it. Stuff like, oh my gosh, it's hard to cipher through it. So I'm not dogging them, at least for me. Some people who are part of it, who are listening, saying, man, it's easy for me to understand. I know exactly what they're talking about. I know exactly what it means. Well, for me, I can honestly say, guys, it wasn't that easy for me to maneuver through it. So, but again, ADOS is American Descendants of Slavery, and then FBA is Foundational Black America. Now, one of the things about ADOS, I want to go through this. The founder of ADOS is Yvette Carnell. I think I'm saying it right. And one of the emphases that she has a few. American Descendants of Slavery, there's a few things. They're of course, by the name, you see who they're. And when they say American Descendants of Slavery, they don't just say black slaves either. I want to say it even gets into it to where it says that the only people that are not included in this are white males. So if you are a slave or descendants of a slave, then you could be a part of this. And it says that one of the things they want to do is reclaim and restore the critical national character of the African American identity. So there is a focus on the blacks. However, when you read through it, you'll see that it's just not for blacks. But again, one of their goals, their mission is to reclaim and restore the critical national character of the African American identity, right? Another thing that they say is that they want to do is close the wealth gap. These are a couple of, now when you read about it, you'll see they got a lot of, I mean, many different things they're trying to really address. And then the other thing is that they say this, slavery is what made white freedom possible. So they don't look at slavery as just, they don't use the word demeaning. There's a phrase they had in there concerning slavery, but it wasn't derogative necessarily, but they were just saying about what it did. And that's the injustice of it really, is that how it made white freedom possible. Again, this is American Descendants of Slavery. Now, the other group, Foundational Black America. This is founded by a young man. I say young man, he's not young necessarily. When I say young, he's not 20, but his name is Tariq Nasheed. And now I think about it, I have heard of him before. Initially, I started doing the research, I was like, I don't know who that is. But now I think I have. I think he has a big Twitter following or something like that. But anyway, Foundational Black Americans. And what they discuss is getting reparations, black business development, networking. This was stood out to me. Networking with independent black-owned schools, right? Again, networking with independent black-owned schools. And the other thing, they want to create panels with black health professionals. So that's the other thing they want to do. Now, lastly, I wanted to know their agenda when it came to politics. Now, I'm not a politics person, guru, thingamajig, right? That ain't me. So, however, I just get concerned when we have these different movements. Now, I think it's FBA is fairly new. It's only been here for like the past year and a half. They're established out of Atlanta and things of that nature. So they haven't been here that long. But I was concerned about their political movement, their political saying, their platform. You know, people always talk about BLM. Of course, we talk about, you know, the white supremacy groups, you know, from your KKK to your whatever, right? You got your different groups that people are part of, and they all have a political, quote unquote, political platform. I believe a political platform that they would support or not support, you know? So of course people say BLM is all about Democrats, whatever. You know, of course they say white supremacy is all about the Republicans and all that kind of stuff. So feel me, I get that. So I want to understand where these guys come from between ADOS and FBA. Now, I'm going to be honest. I wasn't able to find a lot on ADOS, their political platform. I was not able to find a lot on that to see if they support either way or another. At the end of the day, they have like an agenda that they're just trying to achieve when it comes to, again, like we said, when it comes to closing the wealth gap. That's a part of their agenda. That's a part of their guideline. That's what we want to do. So they don't necessarily say this party's going to do it or this party's not going to do it. They don't necessarily say that. They just say this is what we're after. And they voice and speak out to on how to do that and closing that gap. They're adamant about trying. That's one of the things they're really adamant about doing. So they don't talk a lot about the political platform. However, when I looked at FBA, now again, FBA, Tariq Nasheed, black male, I looked him up, picture of him, at least the picture says black male. They are, now listen, if I'm in error, let me know. Tariq Nasheed, who's the founder of FBA, put some tweets out. And in these tweets, he shows his support for President Trump. Now understand, guys, for those who are listening, got my phone number or whatever, listen, don't text me and say, "Lo, you're showing sides," or say, "Lo, how can you have people on here who supports President Trump?" Or even vice versa. "Lo, how can you talk about people who don't support President Trump?" You know, I mean, dude, people are entitled to their own opinion. I bring this up to say that all too often that when it comes to during election time, for one, we don't hear all sides, for one. But the other thing is that I think we would be surprised when we dig deep and find out certain truths and untruths about certain organizations, what they're really after, what they really want, what really is on their agenda when it comes to, you know, voting and it comes to, you know, rights and legislations and policies. I think we start digging deeper. Some of us, I'm going to say it, don't shoot me down. As he said, don't shoot the sheriff. Don't shoot the messenger. They said, don't shoot me. In other words, when we dig deep, and I think if all of us take the time to dig deep, that some of us might change our thoughts and agenda on who we support and who we don't. Now, someone listening to me saying, "Lo, are you trying to flip or are you trying to change? Are you trying to say that, you know, you'd support Trump if such and such, or you'd support Biden such and such?" And all this, I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is when it comes to elections time and it comes to voting, first of all, vote. That's the first thing, is vote. You vote for something. You know what? I'm saying it backwards. Research and then vote. So don't just go cast a ballot. Research. Really research and cast a ballot to vote. Now, some people claim to be a part of these organizations, these movements. Sometimes it's confusing because in one breath they're saying one thing and the next breath they're saying something else. Back in the day we say, "Man, you're talking out the side of your neck. We don't know what you're talking about," right? So with that being said, that sometimes it is hard to determine which way someone is going. But that's why I say at the end of the day, you have to do your own research. Look at it for yourself. Here's the thing, guys. Y'all think I'm just talking about the presidential election. No, sir. No, bruh. I'm talking about even your local elections. If we get past the surface, you know, before I go, I do want to say this. I got 1 minute. I do want to say this, though. There are people, I'm not trying to take up, quote unquote, but I do want to say this. There are people who are dogging out Kamala Harris about talking about all the blacks she put in jail. I've heard this for the past couple of weeks. I've heard that subject. The issue isn't how many blacks she put in jail. I'm sorry, it's not. People are making that the issue. How many people she put in jail? I think the issue is how many blacks were in front of her for her to put them in jail. That's a bigger question. Don't look at how many she just put in prison. Let's not just look at that. Let's go back and take a look at how many people of color were in front of her that gave her the opportunity to put these people in prison. Right? Listen, you've been listening to WRULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5, WRU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with the Global Soul. You haven't listened to Men on the Block. I'm your host, Lorenzo Ross. Listen, appreciate you guys for coming out, listening on tonight. Excuse me. Appreciate you guys for listening on tonight. So always love, enjoy having you. Check us out on social media. Men on the Block 1 on Twitter, at Men on the Block 1 on Twitter. Also, you can check us out on Facebook, Men on the Block. Also, Instagram, Men on the Block. Hey, all of it, Men on the Block. Also, you can check me out, God's Man. Godsman underscore 08. Man, I got choked. Check us out. Please, please, please follow us on social media. We'd love to hear from you guys. Chime in at any time, man. Any questions, comments, concerns, even have some topics you'd like for us to discuss. Listen, be safe. Wear your mask. Take care of yourselves. Y'all have a blessed week. Have a great and safe holiday. Be good. Peace.